The following podcast is brought to you by the SSN, a cut above the rest.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Pokemon World Tour.
I am your handsome drippy prince slash host Jake.
And I am your bad boy with a heart of gold field guide Josh.
And we're going on a cruise today.
We're going on a boat.
How do you guys feel about that? I hope you got your what are those little C-bands? Hope you got your C-bands.
What's a C-band?
It's like a little bracelet, but it's got like a marble, like a half a marble, and it presses on your vein, on your wrist, so you don't get seasick.
Oh, I didn't know they made those.
Yeah. They actually work.
Could have been going on boats this whole time.
Well, now you know.
And we're also going to do a little bit of spelunking, but before that, we've got some Pokemon news.
Josh, hit me with some news.
Okay. Well, how about this? A new game came out that I kept forgetting to tell you guys about.
What?
Yeah, Pokemon Super Mystery Dungeon just came out on November 20th, which to us recording this is 3 days ago or 4 days ago if you count the day. I don't know how you do it.
I go back and forth. Really depends.
I'm gonna say it was 4 days ago.
It was
by the time you guys are hearing this, it was weeks ago.
I've probably
beaten it by now.
So I have never played a Mystery Dungeon game.
Okay.
Are you a Pokemon?
You are a Pokemon. You are a human who has been turned into a Pokemon.
Sure.
That happens every time, I think. I don't know. I don't know.
How many Mystery Dungeon games are there?
There are five.
So five different humans have been turned into Pokemon and no one's talking about it in that world?
I think they're all,
you'd think
they're
Bill,
all unique universes.
You'd think Bill would look into it, right?
You would think. Well, here's the thing. There's a human world and a Pokemon world.
Okay.
So I picked Cyndaquil. You take a test at the beginning, and then depending on your answers for that test, they give you a Pokemon. They're like, it's a personality quiz, so they're like, you're this Pokemon. But in the new one, which is Pokemon Super Mystery Dungeon,
yeah.
I don't know if I said drop the title
you did,
yet.
Yeah.
I did? Oh, good for me. I took the test, and it was like, oh, you sound like a Pikachu. And I was like, no, I'm a Cyndaquil, because they give you the option to say that they're wrong.
Right.
Which is nice. You don't have to keep resetting.
Did it not used to?
Yeah. It would be like, you are Mudkip, and I was like, no, I'm not. And then you have to reset and do it again until you get the one you want. It was
I think
pain.
You made the reset motion with your hands every time you said reset.
Hit the shoulder buttons and start and select.
Yeah.
And then you pick a partner, and then you guys go on adventures together.
You pick like another Pokemon partner?
Yep.
What Pokemon, I don't know if you know all of them off the top of your head, what Pokemon are available to you?
All of the starters from Gen 1 to 6.
Okay.
Pikachu and Riolu.
What is Riolu? Is that a baby Lucario?
That's a baby Lucario.
Okay. Not Eevee?
Not Eevee. Eevee has been there in all of the past ones. Except for, I've never played Gates of Infinity, because it was bad. It was a bad one, so I just skipped it.
Okay. It feels like a misstep, but if I can be a Totodile, all is forgiven.
You can. You can all be right. A Totodile.
It'll probably be like, you seem like that's really, what's this, Sceptile?
Treecko.
Treecko. You seem like a Treecko. And I'd be like, no, I hate you, Super Mystery Dungeon. And I'd throw it out the window.
Yeah, I picked Cyndaquil, and my partner's Pikachu.
Cool.
And we go on adventures and we have fun. It's pretty good. I'm like 6 hours into it already.
So is it like a... Sorry, this entire podcast so far has been me being like, what is this game? But like, what is this game? What is...
All right, so...
Is it like a puzzle game?
It's a roguelike. Do you know what a roguelike
is? I do know what a roguelike is. For those of you who don't know, it's a game where if you die, the whole thing resets. It's random.
Yeah. So you basically take missions. It's going to be like go into such and such a dungeon and rescue a Pokemon or find an item or bring a Pokemon to a certain floor or whatever.
Right.
All the dungeons are random, so it's different every time you go in. And then that's it. If you die, then you lose everything that you got in there. That's it. It's all about exploring and looting. That's pretty much all it's about.
I'm actually kind of into that. I might check this game out.
It's fun. I recommend it.
And, Black Friday for us is coming up, so it might be cheap.
It's much harder than the previous ones, too.
Great. Yeah, maybe I won't check it out.
The previous Pokemon Mystery Dungeons, you could just like use you and your partner and just run through, wreck everybody without having to use items and anything. But you need to really like think about what items you have on you and stuff.
Yeah.
In this one. And it's a lot of fun. It's not too hard. Like, I haven't gotten a game over yet.
Okay. Maybe I'll check it out. We'll see what's on sale Black Friday. So that's out.
That's out.
There's other news.
Yes, there was a Nintendo Direct.
There was.
On a guy November ate a lot of donuts? 13th?
I think so.
Yeah, November 13th. There's a bunch of Nintendo news. We're only going to talk about the Pokemon stuff.
Yeah, I want to talk about Twilight Princess stuff, but we'll skip it.
So February 27th, 2016 is the 20th anniversary of Pokemon.
Wow.
Being released in the world, not North America.
Not over here.
But just existing. And so to celebrate that, Pokemon Red, Blue, and Yellow are going to be on the virtual console on the Nintendo 3DS with wireless trading and I'm assuming battling, but they did not
talk about battling. So, and then like, if you're not aware, like, this is what's kept it off the virtual console is they didn't know how to do the trading stuff.
Right.
Even though every system since the Game Boy Advance has had wireless, right? Like, is it the Game Boy Advance?
Yeah. And, like, emulators and stuff have just had the ability to trade over the internet on those forever.
Right. So, like...
So they were just like, all right, we'll...
Can't put it off anymore. That's cool.
I'm going to pick up at least Yellow and probably also Blue version.
Is there a price point on those yet?
No.
No? Okay. We'll keep you posted.
I'm going to assume it's probably going to be like $4.99.
That's not bad.
I'm going to pay $10 for each if that's what it comes to, but I don't think it'll be that high.
We'll see. I might pick one up. I might not. I don't have a lot of time to play. There's also, I think, Pokken Tournament?
Pokken Tournament doesn't have a solid date that I can see on this quick bullet point list that I pulled up here. But it will be heading to the Wii U in spring of 2016.
Okay.
In North America. I don't know what the rest of the world is. Might be worldwide, I'm not sure. But there's a Shadow Mewtwo or a Dark Mewtwo or something in the game. Have you seen that at all?
I have not.
It's Mewtwo, but he's like black and he's got like this weird like lava spike coming out of his shoulder. He's all like, you know, it's like emo or whatever. But he's getting an amiibo card. You can unlock him in the game through normal gameplay, but if you scan the amiibo card that comes with the first print run, I think, you unlock him right away.
These are like the Animal Crossing amiibo cards.
Yeah.
Those have chips in them? Those cards that you have 1,000 of?
I have like 80 something. I don't have 1,000.
But they have chips in them?
Like they do. Scan them? They have a little amiibo chip in them.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Didn't know that. So they're just trading cards, basically.
Nope. You can scan them. You can scan them, the Animal Crossing ones, in Happy Home Designer. And you can design a house for the person on
the card. So then they're making Pokemon amiibo cards, which is...
At least that Shadow Mewtwo. That's the only one.
I imagine they'll make more. They wouldn't add the entire ability to scan into the game without having some sort of contingency plan to get more money from you.
Right. I'm excited about that. I wasn't excited about Pokken Tournament at first, but I'm probably going to definitely check it out now.
I don't like... And this is old biased memories. I don't like the Tekken fighting system. I haven't played a Tekken fighting system since, we're going to say, conservative estimate, 2003.
I don't think it's evolved at all. I think it's still just hit as many buttons as you can to do a combo.
I didn't like it back then. I haven't played in the interim.
Well, Pokken Tournament has some changes to it.
Right.
Like, the Pokemon do their signature moves. Right. And you can assign, like, support Pokemon, and I think there's trainers that have different effects and stuff.
That's all pretty cool stuff. Can I be Hawlucha?
I don't know.
If I can't, I'm calling shenanigans on the whole thing.
Tournament. Let's make that pact right now. No Hawlucha, no buy.
I'm not
into that.
Blood pact.
Hawlucha is in Pokemon Super Mystery Dungeon. And if you read his dialogue as Hulk Hogan, it's good for a laugh.
I saw a screenshot that you posted where he says Hawlucha Maniacs.
He's the move relearner, basically.
Okay.
And he doesn't open up his relearning shop until he can hear the cries of his little Hawlucha maniacs. similar to like a Christmas spirit system, I guess.
Okay.
And one more thing from the Direct, there's a quote-unquote free-to-start Pokemon game coming out to join Pokemon Shuffle and Pokemon Rumble World. It's called Pokemon Picross.
Oh, Picross?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you just play Picross.
But it's Pokemon.
Yeah. And so each picture is a Pokemon, and then you can make a team out of the ones that you've solved, and they have different abilities and effects and stuff. So that seems cool. I'm going to get that.
I might check that if it's free to start, because I imagine it'll be like you have 5 lives. If you lose,
it's a life system. I think it's a hint system or something. I don't remember.
Well, if it's not a life system, that'll be much funner to play.
Yeah. Yeah, because Shuffle has a live system. Yeah, but it's not a live system.
It's a turn system.
It's a turn system.
I don't like that.
That's worse.
Yeah, I'm okay with lives because two dots is like that. You have five chances. You have five lives, and if you lose,
right. If you win, you can play forever. Yeah. But if you lose, you lose a life.
That I'm fine with. I do not like the you only have five turns because that's just like needlessly greedy.
You can play
greedy.
This game for 20 minutes right now, but then you have to wait an hour to play it again.
Yeah, I don't like that. Not a fan of that. But if it's like, oh, you just don't get a hint. I don't need a hint.
Right.
I mean.
All the hints are right there. It's like Voltorb Flip.
Right?
Just put out Voltorb Flip on
mobile phones.
Yeah, guys.
Remember Voltorb Flip? Put it out.
All right, Jake. Are you ready to get on this boat?
I'm ready. Okay. Yes. All the boat! Welcome to the SSN. This is the most luxurious thing in the entire world. What a boat.
It is a luxury cruise ship.
That
sails around the entire world.
The whole world. I'm going to do a quick Google.
Okay.
Because of something that happens in the anime that I need to double check. Okay, I just checked. It is called the SSN because in the anime, it's not. And we'll talk about that more later.
So on a technicality, you could have got away with not watching the anime.
I could have not watched it. We'll talk about it later.
All right,
Josh,
I'm excited for that.
Tell me a little bit about this boat.
All right, luxury cruise ship. I already talked about that. Sails around the entire world of Pokemon and stops annually at the port in Vermilion City. So the first floor, we just walked onto the boat.
Okay. Guys, also, we don't really have a format for this part.
We're just
kind of winging it.
Yep.
We're boating it, sailing it.
Pantsing it.
We're pantsing it. Here we go.
The first floor consists of a long hallway shaped like an elongated lowercase n. Does that make sense?
It's
a hallway, and then it's got like two short little legs
okay.
on each side.
Yeah.
Okay.
Some people call that a U, but...
But it goes down in the shape of an N, not up in the shape of a U.
I mean, that's subjective, isn't it?
Well, the second floor is the offices. The
okay,
U-shape.
All right.
There's six cabins on the first floor. The rightmost cabin is yours, and the sailor at the entrance to the boat will tell you. He just says, that's your cabin, but, you know, 8-bit little pixel screen.
Right.
He can't actually point to it, so you have to kind of figure it out. It's
just
the rightmost one.
Hope for the best.
And you can go back to that cabin, and you can rest up in the bed and heal your Pokemon. I think maybe in the remakes, there's a lady in there who was like, hey, I'll... heal your Pokemon.
But what?
I don't know.
That's a little sus.
I don't know what that's
suspect.
About. That might also not be true because, guys, I stopped playing along. So.
Way to go. I'm still watching this stupid anime for this show.
All right. So from our cabin, we'll go all the way first to the southwest end of the hallway.
Okay.
And there's a door into the kitchen where there's some chefs who talk about cooking food. I think there's a sailor in there who's like, can't wait to eat this food. It's great.
Right. Is this food Pokemon?
I mean, they never say,
but probably.
But maybe.
Oh, we got a nice.
Maybe they're
far-fetched flambé.
I don't know.
With some oddish.
A little oddish garnish.
Yeah.
No, I'm not into that. Well, look, Pokemon both takes place in and out of the real world, so maybe they eat real animals and just have pet fights with
maybe.
Pokemon.
Maybe I got some theories. We'll talk about it later.
So aside from the people, there are three trash cans on the right wall of the room.
Okay, what's in them?
There's only one. The bottom one has an item in it. And as far as I know, this is the only trash can. I might be wrong. And if I am, we'll correct it when we get there. But as far as I know right now, this is the only trash can in all of Kanto that has an item in it.
Okay.
In Gen 1, it's a Great Ball, and in Gen 3, it's a Hyper Potion.
Gen 3 is making out better than Gen 1 is, because you can't catch any Pokemon on this ship.
Nope, not a one. So we come out of the kitchen, because that's all that's going on in there. They're just cooking food, whatever.
Right.
In the cabins, there's some trainers and some items and stuff. I'll go over the items later, because everything in here you can miss, because the SSN leaves.
Right.
So we'll go over that. But past all those, go down to the southeast end of the hallway, where a staircase leads down... into the basement. Down there, there's five more cabins with trainers and items and stuff.
In the basement?
In the basement. It's the downstairs.
The brig.
The ship. It's floor B1 of the ship. Brig 1.
Brig 1. These are prisoners.
And that's really all that's in the basement. So the SS Anne kind of serves the purpose because there's not a lot going on between Cerulean and Vermilion.
Right.
So it's kind of like here you can train a little bit so you're more prepared for the gym, I think is what.
Okay.
It's just
wait,
like
between Cerulean and Vermilion or before Vermilion and Celadon?
Between Cerulean and Vermilion. We okay. talked about the gym and Lieutenant Surge last time, but you can't get there without Cut.
Right, which you have to get.
Which you have to get here.
On, right, right. Okay.
Right.
Gotcha. Also, guys, I'm just now remembering, we did not end the spoiler warning for the Vermilion episode.
That's fine.
Wait!
So, I mean,
there's still spoilers until we end it.
Okay.
Wonderful!
So go back up to the first floor, go all the way back over to the west side. I don't know why I took us on such a weird route through the first floor, but now there's stairs that go up. They're just north of the kitchen entrance.
Okay.
To the second floor. And the second floor is a mirror image of the first. It's a lowercase u instead of an n. And there's also six cabins, more items, and more trainers.
Can you fight people in the cabins? Is that what...
Yeah.
Like you walk into someone's room?
Yeah,
you...
it's mostly like rich dudes.
Okay.
And like some kids, but like rich kids. There's like right. the lasses and...
Yeah.
Rich boys.
Rich boys.
So when you come up the stairs, you just head south, and then there's a staircase there that leads out to the ship's bow? It's not bow, it's bow.
No, it's bow.
It's bow, okay. And there's a couple sailors out there. I don't know if anyone out here actually battles you. I think there's one.
You think at least one sailor would have yeah. a tentacool or something to fight?
A lot of the sailors have machops.
Because they got...
And, like, tentacles.
They got to pull ropes.
Yeah,
tie knots.
They need that sailor strength.
If you want to be a sailor, you got to jump a wall. You got to run 15 miles.
You got to swim a lake and do 100 jump jacks. So you fight probably that one sailor out there, and the other ones are like, man, this is ship, right? One of them might just yell, I'm on a boat. I don't know.
I don't think so.
Probably not. You go back through.
Look at my hat.
Look at my pipe, my guns. Pipes? That's not pipes. Pipes is your... singing
Pythons.
Voice. So you go through the cabins, fight all the one percenters, then come out around the corner on the east end, and boom, there's Blue ready to fight you after you just had like 18 battles with some rich folk.
How? Okay, can I ask you a question? I don't think we talked about it in the last episode. How do you get on the boat?
Oh, it's in the harbor. Bill gave you a ticket.
Bill gave us a ticket. Okay, yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah, because we turned him from the fly into
a human.
And he's like, here's a ticket to a boat, because I wasn't going to go to that hoity-toity thing.
Okay, so somehow Blue also got a ticket.
I think he says when he first talks, he's like, I'm actually surprised you even got on the boat.
But how did he get on the boat?
I don't know. He's not a loser.
That's true.
That's true. So there's a quick battle, because he comes down out of the captain's chambers, and he's like, hey, that old guy taught me cut. Now I'm going to fight you.
Sure. Seems reasonable.
And his team is... a level 19 Pidgeotto, a level 16 Raticate, a level 18 Kadabra, and a level 20 second evolution of whatever starter he ended up with. So Ivysaur, Charmeleon, or Wartortle.
Okay.
Okay, after you beat him, he informs you that the captain has the ability to teach Pokemon the move Cut. Somebody, maybe Blue right now, or maybe somebody before, it might have been Bill, calls him the Cut Master?
That's not a good nickname.
No.
I would give that a Pokeball.
But he's seasick. He probably makes fun of you and the captain and then leaves the ship. That's what I wrote. He probably just makes fun of you.
Okay. Wait, Blue is seasick?
No, the captain is.
Captain is seasick.
So you head up to the captain's quarters.
Okay, hold on. A boat captain.
Yep.
Which is on a boat that is constantly sailing around the world. Is seasick?
He's seasick.
I don't trust this captain.
While the ship
I don't
is
trust
docked.
A skinny chef. I don't trust a seasick captain.
So you head up there and talk to the captain. He's just like, oh, I'm so sick. He's in front of a trash can, and if you interact with the trash can, it says, yuck, shouldn't have looked.
Oh, gross.
So that trash can is full of barf.
Oh, great, a barf can.
So you talk to the captain, who's like, oh, I'm seasick, and then it plays the Pokemon Center healing music.
So you just, like, have this healing word?
Well,
you...
No, it goes boop, 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 and the text reads, rub, 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 because you're rubbing his back.
You give him a back
you
rub.
You give him a little back rub.
This is a weird place. I don't think I'm entirely comfortable with the SSN.
He doesn't get all the way better, but he gets a little better. But he informs you, he's like, hey, that helped. But I still can't teach your Pokemon Cut, but this CD can. And right. It gives you HMO1.
Smack this CD on your Pokemon's forehead, and they'll learn how to cut down a little tree.
A tiny little baby tree.
They'll learn how to ruin nature before it starts.
So that's our first HM. Now we can cut those weird-looking tiny little baby trees. Yeah. And
that you should be able to, like, bend and walk past.
But now you gotta cut it. Now you can fight the gym.
So is that it? That's it.
Yeah, we get the HM. They're... Assuming you've fought all the battles on the ship.
Then why wouldn't you? You can't come back.
Right. So I said before in the last episode when we talked about the truck that the only way to get to it was to trade a Pokemon that knew Cut already.
Yeah.
You can also faint on the ship.
Yeah, because then you'll just go back to
the Pokemon Center and the ship will still be there. And unless you go on and come off again and then it'll sail away.
Right. So how does the ship dock again?
It doesn't.
It doesn't.
Nope. As soon as you get cut and leave the ship, it sails away and it never comes back.
So, like...
There was a rumor, a schoolyard rumor...
Oh, boy.
...that if you beat the Elite Four 365 times, that it would come back. Because I guess each time you beat them is the end of a day.
Okay. Because there's no way to tell time in the first game.
No.
So, yeah. Man, we got to do a whole episode on those schoolyard rumors, on Pokemon myths and legends and lies, because there are a lot of fun ones. So anyway, to get off the boat, you just like go up to the door and be like, I would like to leave now.
Yeah, you go back the way you came.
All right, makes sense.
So before we leave, because that's all that's on the SSN, so before we take off, I just want to go over the items that are on here that are missable and are things that you can't just buy in a shop.
Okay.
Like they're kind of rare items. Some of them are TMs.
Oh, boy.
So there is, in both the originals and the remakes, there's an Aether and TM44, which is Rest, are on the boat.
All right.
And then in Red, Blue, and Yellow, there's a Max Aether, a Rare Candy, and TM08 for Body Slam. And then in Fire Red and Leaf Green, instead of those three, those three aren't in Fire Red and Leaf Green, but there's TM31, which is Brick Break, a Cherry Berry, a Chesto Berry. I don't want to say this how I usually say it in my head. I'm going to say a Peacha Berry. and a Stardust. So those are the items that you can't buy in a shop.
Okay.
That you'll lose out on.
Everything else, if you miss it, it's fine.
Everything, there's like potions and stuff where you can buy all those.
Right. But the TMs, like, this is probably in Red and Yellow, at least. I don't know how the remakes are. I imagine they're similar, but, like, there's only one of each TM.
Yeah, except for, like, the ones I think you can buy at the game corner.
Right.
Thankfully, in the new generation, there's only one of each TM because they're all infinite use.
Yeah.
Which is just such a good... thing that they did.
Whew.
Makes it hard to go back now, kind
of. Yeah, it took a while. I mean, because I'm going to be starting up, once we get over to Johto, I'm going to be starting up Soul Silver again, but like, I'm going to miss some of those improvements.
Yeah, definitely the breeding ones.
Yeah, that was rough times. Rough times, those prehistoric ages.
All right, so that's it for the SSN.
Do you have any notes on the Pokemon battles? From the people?
The trainer battles? Yeah. No, I know, like, the gentlemen, who are just, like, the rich guys, they use Growlithe a lot.
Well, because it's a rare Pokemon.
Because it's a rare Pokemon, but it's also, like, it's the... Arcanine is the legendary Pokemon.
Right. Makes no sense.
But it's, like, it's the most, like, a dog, I guess, too, even though it's kind of a tiger.
It's a tiger dog.
It's a tiger dog. I love Growlithe.
It's a good Pokemon.
Other than that, I don't really have any notes. I think they're all around level, like... 17 to 20.
Right. Okay. I was just checking.
Yeah.
I figured it's all a bunch of 1% billionaires.
Right.
They're fancy
rich boy dogs. I think one girl has a Nidoran that she says she caught in the Safari Zone.
So getting a little teaser for later. I like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Then we leave.
That's it. Then we leave. The boat sets sail.
Never to be seen again.
Never, ever. It's talked about a lot in future games.
Yeah.
But we don't ever really actually see it again.
Which... I feel like this is one of the things that make the original Pokemon games great, is that, like, you just don't know. Like, the boat's gone now.
Yeah.
You don't know.
It's sailing around the world.
Yeah, like
what does that mean?
Like, because now there's at least 6 different regions,
It sails around the world, the entire world.
Right.
As far as we know, which in the first games is just Kanto. So it just sails around Kanto in, like, a circle. But the only city and port that ever talks about docking it is Vermilion.
Yeah, none of the later games.
No.
Like, in different regions, it's not like, it stopped here.
Because, like, Olivine is kind of like a port city.
Yeah.
Lily Cove is a port city. Slateport is a port city.
Yeah, there's, like, it could dock in other places, but it just doesn't.
Nope.
That's real weird. It's a real weird thing. And also, I like that they say it'll be back. It's annual. That's once a year. Okay?
Yep.
So when you want to leave, you literally just jump off the boat?
No, yeah. When you're on that boat, you're there for a year.
I don't like that at all.
You were on a luxury cruise for an entire year. And look, that boat has 17 cabins on it. It's not very big. It's not a lot.
No.
And like the bow is not big either.
No. So,
and there's no access to the poop deck. So
if I was on this boat for a year, it's just a Pokemon trainer boat, right? Like that's the only other people on here.
Right.
I would have crushed those people so many times. All my Pokemon would be like level 1,000.
Dock back at Vermilion and you walk off the boat a man.
You're an adult now with a Blastoise.
A Blastoise and a Pidgeot and like a Dragonite. Yeah, I got a Dratini floating around the ocean.
It turns out it's a giant Blastoise dragon now.
They just like grab it. Hold it still while I hold the Pokeball on its face.
So I guess we're going to take a little walk over to Diglett Cave?
Yeah, I'll take a little jog over to the cave.
Now we're in a spoopy cave.
Yeah, this is the spelunking I was talking about earlier.
Ooh.
There's not really any treasure in this cave.
No, I don't remember this cave. I feel like it's pretty straightforward.
It is a long, natural tunnel dug by Diglett that connects routes 11 and 2.
Okay.
Okay.
That you can't get to on the 2 side because of like a guy, right?
Oh, it's a little cut tree.
Okay.
Can't get in there because of cut tree. It's much longer in Fire Red and Leaf Green. And Red, Blue, and Yellow, it's just like this tiny little diagonal path.
It's like a hallway, yeah.
Yeah, and Fire Red and Leaf Green at least has some real length to it, so it feels like you're traveling that far.
Right.
And then in Heart Gold and Soul Silver, it's just like, it's bonkers in there. It's still a pretty big hallway, but there's like extra levels. It's still all on the same screen, but there's like bridges running over the bottom of it and stuff. Adds a little bit of dimension and verticality. There might be items in there in Heart Gold and Soul Silver.
I don't remember.
Just
one quick thing about the SSN. That's the first thing we've done that does not have another counterpart. It doesn't have a... Because normally with the Johto game, we retread some of that stuff, but not the SSN. That's gone forever. That's a one and done.
Set sail, and it still has not been a year in the Pokemon world, I guess. Not lost, because I think in Ruby and Sapphire, it's part of the Oceanic Museum. There's like it's a luxury liner that circles the globe.
Right.
If it was lost, there would be a mention.
There'd be a thing about that. Place is bananas. This Pokemon place is bananas.
So the Diglett Cave runs underneath Celadon City, Route 7, Route 6, which I thought was just a fun little fact to include.
I had fun.
There's nothing interesting in the cave except for Diglett and sometimes a Dugtrio. That's all that's going on in here.
No other Pokemon?
Boring little cave. That's it for Pokemon, yeah. And then this is the only way back. Because remember when we left Mount Moon, we jumped a ledge to get to Cerulean, so we couldn't go back. So now this is the only way to go back after that point to Pewter City without using Surf or Fly.
Okay. Man, Fly is just the best thing.
Oh, man. I'm so glad that they always thought to include
that.
That would have been a fun meeting. Like, okay, we're in Saffron. We beat Sabrina. That's fine. But like, I just want to go see what my mom's doing.
Right.
How do we get there quick?
Oh, you have to walk all the way around. What if we did something else?
Someone's like, well, there's a lot of birds in this game. Let's just make a move that you can fly.
Yeah.
In Heart Gold and Soul Silver, you can find Brock inside the Route 11 entrance, where he will offer you his phone number. And then after you beat him in a rematch, you can find him there again, where he offers you the trade for a Rhyhorn. He will take your Bonsly. I said that backwards than I usually do. He will trade your Bonsly for his Rhyhorn.
Okay. Bonsly is a baby Sudowoodo.
Yes.
Okay.
And then also in Heart Gold and Soul Silver, you can use the radio station things to draw out some other Pokemon.
Okay.
Which, with the Hoenn sound, you get... I'm going to say this wrong. I'm just going to say it how I always say it. Makuhita, who's like the sumo boxer Pokemon.
Okay.
Have you seen him yet?
Yes.
He's in the Dooford Cave, which you've done.
He's a little fat guy.
Yeah, he's a little fat guy. He's got like boxing glove hands.
The Dooford Cave?
Yeah. You fought Brawly for the second badge?
I must have.
Yep. There's a cave that you have to go to.
I should play that game again sometime.
If you use the Sinnoh sound, you get Chingling or Bronzor. Chingling is a pre-evolved Chimeko.
That's like the
wind chime.
The tapestry wind chime guy? Okay.
And then a Bronzor is like the coin that evolves into a big bell.
I don't know anything about that
Pokemon.
That's
a Gen 4 Pokemon.
I'm kind of interested in this Pokemon. I'm going to check him out.
Maybe we'll do a thing about it. All right. I liked doing that little 7-minute spotlight episode, so those might happen a little more often.
I do like them. Because there's, guys, I don't know if you know this. There's a lot of Pokemon.
There's a lot of Pokemon. There's way like, more Pokemon than there are cities.
There's like a lot of Pokemon.
720. And they are all in Pokemon Super Mystery Dungeon, available now. Go pick it up. If you need help, just post your rescue code and I'll come help you.
Parachute in. A little Cyndaquil.
You get little scarves, you and your partner, to show that you're like best friends.
Like matching scarves?
Yeah.
I thought that was just the... all right, we should have covered this. I thought those scarves were like, you're in the Pokemon Boy Scouts.
Nope.
It just means you guys are buddies?
Yep.
I like that a lot.
Pikachu was like, oh, because you're all adopted. You're a human turned into a Pokemon. And you wake up just in the middle of like nowhere.
Sure.
There's a Nuzleaf who finds you being chased by some other Pokemon. And he's like, oh man, follow me back to the village. And then, so you just live with him. And then your partner, mine is Pikachu. So I will just refer to a partner as Pikachu from now on. Lives with a Caracosta.
Okay.
Who he calls Pops.
Sure.
It's obviously adopted.
That's a turtle, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's the Pokemon I call Sarasota all the time.
It is.
Okay.
Yep, that's one of the same. But a couple hours into the game, Pikachu was like, oh, when Caracosta found me, I was wrapped in these scarves. We should wear them as a symbol of our friendship.
That's cool.
Friendship like that is a very important part of all of the Mystery Dungeon games.
All right, I'm getting on board. I'm getting on board with this.
Anyway, we come out of Diglett's Cave on the Route 2 side. Which is that eastern path that I talked about way back in the Viridian City episode.
Okay.
So it runs the entire length of Route 2 and bypasses the forest, but is inaccessible unless a trainer has the ability to use a cut outside of battle, or they come from Diglett's Cave.
All right.
There's a building to the south of the cave entrance with a trainer in it who wants to trade you a Mr. Mime.
I remember that. Yeah. Okay, I remember this route now.
Yep, he's like, hey, I got this Mr. Mime, you should give me an Abra. Or in yellow, he wants a Clefairy, which is much harder to get.
Much harder.
Maybe this is the only way to get Mr. Mime. I know one of these trades is the only way to get one of them.
I think this is the only way to get Mr. Mime.
Okay, that makes sense.
Because I don't remember getting him any other way.
I can't picture anywhere else in the world that he would exist.
Mr. Mime is creepy as heck.
Yeah.
Do not like him.
Yeah. His new, like his animation in the 3D ones, it's super terrifying. Yeah. South of that house is another cuttable tree because I guess they just need to keep putting those things in.
Yep.
But there's a gatehouse. Inside that is one of Professor Oak's aides, and he will reward you with HM05, which is Flash.
Ooh.
Which you don't need. It's very useful, but you don't need it. Later on. He rewards you with that if you have managed to capture 10 different Pokemon.
Which by now, I think you probably should have.
It's hard not to, yeah. I think, by this point. Oh, that's another thing that Blue says on the SSN. He's like, how's your Pokedex coming along? I already caught 40 kinds, pal. That's too many. Somebody did the math, and it's like impossible. Even if you evolve everything that's available until
really?
Then. Yeah.
Yeah, cheater. Cheater my cheater pants.
He's a liar, I think.
I think he's probably a liar.
Or he's farther ahead.
Much better.
Just came back to the boat because he got a ticket somehow.
Right. He stole it, probably. Beat up the Pokemon president. Fan club president.
Lance? Oh, the fan club president. South of the gate, there's just a couple ledges, some open ground, or some items laying around down there. Nothing like super important or special. So then you go all the way back through Diglett's Cave, fight and defeat Lieutenant Surge in Vermilion City, head back north to Cerulean City, then we'll take the eastern path out to Route 10, but that is for next time.
Okay.
So that's it. That's the SSN and the Diglett Cave.
That was quick and painless.
Yeah, I think so. All right, Jake, so before we jump into your anime section, there's not a Diglett's Cave episode, right?
There is not.
But there is a Diglett episode.
There is a Diglett episode that I did not watch.
Let me sum this episode up for everybody. Are you ready? Okay. I'm getting embarrassed already having to do this. I can't do it now.
You have to. You committed.
Diglett dig, Diglett dig. Trio, trio, trio. That's all anyone's going to walk away from the Diglett episode with. I don't know what happens in the episode, but that they say that a million times.
Well, I'm never going to find out. Because I did not watch the Diglett Cave episode.
Also, some Pokemon news that we didn't go over. Lucky for you, the Johto Journeys finally came out on DVD.
Yes, thank
goodness.
So when
we get to Johto, you'll have some more episodes to watch.
Oh boy. All right, let me tell you what happened in the anime. All right, so guys, I don't think this is a secret. I think this show is real dumb. I think it's a dumb show.
It tricked you this time, didn't it?
It did. It pulled a prank on me, and I was not happy. But before we talk about that, though, I was a little worried going into this because this past Friday, I lost my dog. He got real sick real fast, and there was nothing we could do, so we had to put him down because, you know, he was in pain. So I was real worried that I would not be able to emotionally handle a show where you and your, you know, where a kid and his pet go on adventures and be best friends. Thankfully, this show is so dumb.
It quelled all your worries.
It totally got rid of that.
Nothing to worry about.
Yeah, there was a moment where I got a little, I was almost invested, but then
that's the magic of Ash Ketchum. He almost gets you on his side
almost,
every time.
But is he just such a loser?
All right, tell us what happened.
Okay, so here's what happened in what I thought was the only SSN episode. It's called The Battle Aboard the SSN, I think. Maybe it's the fight aboard. I think it's the battle aboard the SSN.
I don't think they would use the fight word.
I don't think so. We start off with a recap of Ash. He got his Thunder Badge, and they are done with Vermilion City, I guess. That's the whole recap. But then they walk up to the harbor. They see the SSN, but they don't have money to get tickets because it's a luxury cruise liner, okay?
Now, you're calling it the SSN.
Yes. It's not the SSN. It's the Saint Anne.
Okay.
In the show, which is what I checked because I was like, have I been saying it wrong this whole time?
No.
No. The anime, for some reason that I didn't look into, decided that the SSN was not cool.
What does SS stand for?
Super ship.
Sailing ship.
Super ship.
The sailing ship and.
I don't think so.
The stupendous ship. Because USS is United States ship.
I think so.
Anyway, that's.
Hey, guess who has been a sailor? Neither of us.
Neither of us. If you are a sailor, let us know what SS means.
My friend Layton was in the Navy. I'll text him. I'll see what. All right. I'll see what it means. So they see the SSN. They're like, oh, it's so cool. What a great thing. We don't have the money for it. We just do not have the money to get on the SSN. But then a disguised Team Rocket comes up.
Oh, no.
Okay, guys? And this is the first instance. Okay, so I skipped quite a few episodes. So this is the first instance to me, and I'm assuming the first instance ever, of James dressing as a girl.
Okay.
Okay, now, I don't remember what it's called. You know how there was like a kind of a controversy a while back where people were like, oh, Jinx is racist. It makes fun of this one type of, like, this one way people dress.
It's blackface.
In Japan. Well,
that's the problem we had with it here.
That's what we had with it here. Yeah. And it turns out it's based on, like, a certain style of dress.
Right.
It's like you bleach your hair and you get a tan and you wear, like, light lipstick. So, like, your face and your hair contrast each other. They are dressed like that. Like, they have...
Okay.
They both have bleached hair and like, white lips, and they're tanner. And it's, like, fake tan because they're a little orange. Jesse...
I don't remember this.
Jesse is talking in a Valley Girl accent, and I think it's... I like it. I think it's pretty cool. James literally only says the word cool.
I think this is a Censored in America episode.
Probably. Well, the reason behind it is because he has a boy voice, right?
Right.
And so he's only saying one word in like a high-pitched tone so that he can disguise the fact that he's a girl. I don't know what what's going on in Japan. I don't know what they're doing over there, but that's what we're doing here. He does mention a little bit later, he's like, don't I make a great girl? And then she like just like hits him with a hammer from out of nowhere. She summons up a hammer.
Oh, that's just an anime.
That's an anime thing that I don't understand.
Sometimes their heads get real big. Sometimes they have hammers.
I guess. I'm a pro wrestling fan, which pro wrestling is just anime a lot of the time. So like, I'm totally cool with like Samoans having harder heads. Like, I get that there are tropes that you just have to observe. So I guess hammers are one of those. They give them free tickets. Team Rocket gives them free tickets to get on the SSN. And at first, you're like, why? Because there's only one human in the world that has Jesse's hairstyle, and it's Jesse. And they're always tricked by when she's in a thing.
So she didn't even disguise her hair.
No, it's the same hair.
It's the same hair.
It's like light orange.
I feel like at some point, like, Team Rocket is in disguise, but they're literally in their Team Rocket outfit with, like, fake mustaches.
I will keep
you posted.
And
Ash is like, I don't know who those people are.
They seem trustworthy. So they duck behind a bush. They get a call from the boss, who we don't know who it is, but... I mean,
if you want to know who it is, go back and listen.
Go check out a Vermilion City episode. Also, this ends the spoilers.
Welcome back.
They're finally over. So his voice is disguised. It's like got a reverb on it, and it's like he's in a shadow. He's very mysterious. He's got a Persian with him, which makes Meowth sad, which I did not enjoy, because he's like, dude, you got a Persian? What about me? What about Meowth? And he's like, oh, you sicken me with how terrible you are at your jobs. So I got a new pet, and I didn't like that at all. Because, like, the last episode...
That Meowth can speak English.
He can speak English. I'm amazed they haven't sold him or something. That seems to be their deal. They ask why they gave out all the tickets, and it's a trap. And the trap is basically the cost of tickets does not outweigh the cost that we will get from stealing everyone's Pokemon and selling those.
Okay.
Even though...
So are they giving tickets to everybody?
Apparently. And in a minute, when we get on the boat, it's basically this giant Pokemon convention, like, on the ship. And so if they gave away all these tickets, that's a lot. Also, who is buying Pokemon in this universe?
Right?
Like, I mean, that comes up in a minute, but, like, that's it. There's only one instance so far. Apparently, a bunch of Team Rocketeers on the ship already, disguised, waiting to attack. Ash and company get on board. It's enormous. I said in my notes, it's like a Pokemon convention, right before they said, it's like a Pokemon convention. So I guess it wasn't that hidden. Ash is, like, walking around, and he sees a battle, and he's super psyched about it. He's like, oh, Pivot Pokemon battle, yeah! And he, like, gets, like, all up in there to watch this battle, and it's a Starmie versus Eradicate.
Okay.
And so it's a southern gentleman, like Foghorn Leghorn.
Oh God.
And he beats this Starmie, and they're like, that was a practice battle. And so you're like, okay, the deal is they're just practicing. They're not actually battling, so they'll, like, stop before they hurt each other, right?
Right.
So, but this guy clearly won. And he says, like, I won the practice battle. That's gonna be important in a second. So Ash he's like, who, anybody else want to try it? And Ash is like, yeah, I do. So he sends out Butterfree, and he's winning. He's about to beat Raticate, and the gentleman pulls his Raticate back and goes, well, practice battle over. We'll call it a draw. So I hate this guy.
Yeah.
This codfish. I do not like him at all. Cut to James walking around. This guy sells him a Magikarp. He's like, hey. He's like, hey, look at this Magikarp, right? This is a pretty sweet fish, right? This guy sells
James a Magikarp?
James a Magikarp. Okay. He's like, this is a Magikarp, the king of carp. So there are carp, regular fish in this world, I guess.
I guess so. Can we go back to the point of who buys Pokemon in this world for a quick second?
Yep.
We do, at the game corner.
Right, but there's only, like, three, and they're rare.
Right.
But, like, most people...
But that game corner is run by Team Rocket.
Right. I just don't think that the business is big enough to warrant buying out all the tickets on the SSN.
Getting all those sweet Caterpies and Rattatas.
Yeah, right. And these tickets are gold? They look like they're gold. So,
oh, the SSN is Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory.
Yeah, but that can't... The cost...
But with infinite tickets that Team Rocket bought, they bought all the tickets and they're giving them away?
I guess. I don't know.
I don't know. It seems like they could have just... hijacked the ship after everyone bought their own tickets.
They already said we have people on there. Like, so just, like, wait. People are going to get on the SSN.
Right. Or the Saint Anne, excuse me.
The Saint Anne, sorry.
All right, I'm sorry to interrupt. Okay. Continue.
So this guy is like, all right, see this Magikarp? He's the king of carp, number one. And number two, he gives birth.
The king of carps, Owen Carp.
Owen Carp. he gives, this Magikarp, I don't know if there's a gender pronoun assigned to it, but this Magikarp will give birth to 100 Magikarp. Every year, and then those ones will give birth to 100 more Magikarp. Mm. If you sell them for $100 a piece, you have infinite money. by three generations, you're a billionaire. And James
seems like a pyramid scheme.
It is exactly a pyramid scheme, and James falls for it hook, line, and sinker because he buys the Magikarp for $300. Like normally, it's only $100, but for you, I will throw in the breeding kit and food or whatever for $300.
The breeding kit.
I don't know if that's exactly
another
what it says.
Magikarp, right?
But you would think James buys it, which is not a good decision. So then. No. Then we cut back to Ash and the Southern Gentleman, and he also has like a Southern Belle girlfriend, trophy wife lady, which is just strange. Basically, he talks about trading, and so he wants to trade his Raticate for Ash's Butterfree, but he kind of tricks Ash into doing it by being like, hey, do you like my Raticate? It's a pretty good Raticate, right? Ash's like, yeah, I mean, it was a good Raticate. It beat that first Starmie. He's like, yeah, so you want to trade then, right? So we'll trade. I'll trade my Butterfree or your Butterfree for my Raticate because you like my Raticate so much. Ash is like, I mean, he's like, well, because people trade. If you like, that's how Pokemon are, right? So, like, if you like trading and you want to be friends, you trade, then they trade with other people, and this is how everyone becomes friends in Pokemon world. And Ash is like, okay, I guess. Because he's 10. He's a dumb 10-year-old who should not be out on his own.
No.
Brock should have been like, hey, buddy. Don't.
You right, don't just pull him aside and be like, hey, you know that's the first Pokemon you ever caught on your right? own, right?
He will come to this
okay.
eventually. But for now, he's like, all right, sure. So they trade using a trade machine, which is basically a link cable, which you would think that in a world where you have a Pokeball in your hand and he has a Pokeball in his hand, you go, here's my Pokeball, give me your Pokeball.
Okay, I remember watching this. Here's what I thought happened. Right, you get a Pokeball and you catch a Pokemon in it.
Yeah.
And it like... writes your data to the Pokemon.
Right.
So it has to go through the machine to get the new trainer's data.
That's the only thing I can think.
Yeah.
You have to put it in like a little cupcake tray and then it goes up into a tube and it crosses over a screen and comes out the other side.
I think it does the actual link cable animation.
It does. It pretty much does. Ash immediately has reservations. They're like, all right, let's trade now. And Ash is like, okay, all right, let's do it. It's my Butterfree, but okay. So he puts it in there. Cut back to James. Talking to Jesse about his Magikarp. Jesse's like, oh, you know Magikarp? It's useless. It's the dumbest Pokemon. You were swindled. You've been made a fool of. Go get your money back. And James is like, well, fun thing about that is she's like, how did you even buy it? And he's like, well, I used my salary advance, but it wasn't enough, so I also used your salary advance. And she's like, okay, you're going to get your Pokemon, your money back, or I'm going to kill you. So
how
let's
James
go.
James have access to Jesse's salary? Why? Who put James in charge of the funds?
I don't know. Me, to be fair, Meowth should be in charge of the money.
Yeah, that's his thing.
Yeah.
Is getting money.
Is getting money.
And keeping money.
Getting paid. That's what Meowth
does. Are they dating?
Does.
Are Jesse and James dating?
They definitely seem like it a little later in this episode. Okay. And also, I think so. I like to think so that they are. On their way back. James doesn't get a chance to go back to get his money back because Team Rocket attacks, essentially. They all, like, rip their shirts off, and they've got the black Team Rocket uniforms under it, which this is the first time I noticed. Like, why do Jesse and James have white Team Rocket uniforms? They're not good at their job.
No.
They're not special. They're, not. They're the worst. Unless if you're terrible, you have to wear the white uniform.
Right, you have to earn the black the black belt. They're just white belts.
Yeah, maybe. I think because I think later there's like Butch and Cassidy.
Yes.
And they wear black.
They have a black
And I feel
uniform.
Like they're more effective than Jesse. At least James. James is a dunce.
Yeah.
But they're doing the prepare for trouble speech, and James is like sad about getting, you know, losing all of his money. So he's like, protect the world from devastation. And Jesse's doing the same thing, but he's just like slumped over, and he's got like anime exasperated lines coming out of his head. There's a huge battle because Ash is like, hey, why are we letting them steal all the Pokemon? Pikachu blasts somebody.
Right.
And so then everyone goes, oh, right, we have Pokemon. We can fight back. They keep doing this cool thing.
This is what happens in a population of people who went out on their own at 10 years old.
Yeah, right? Nobody has any critical thinking skills. So
are we still in the first episode?
Yes.
Oh, good Lord. All right. Yeah. I'm going to stop. I'm going to let you go.
Buckle in, guys. They do this thing where they will, like, Ash will go, like, go Pikachu. And then, like, 10 other people will send out a Pikachu. Or, like, 9 other people will send out Pikachus. So it'll be like a pyramid of Pikachus with Pikachu on the top. And then they will do a giant Thunderbolt.
Yeah.
They do this a couple times. They do it with Charmander. They do it with Squirtle. They have... there's like a big swarm of Pidgeys. They do it with Butterfree a little bit later. It's real neat. It's the thing the anime has over the game is that they can do these like logical leaps that you can't do in a game with the limitations it has.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
bad thing is that the show sucks. So,
I don't know. I'm kind of into everything you're talking about right now.
I mean, I feel like I'm explaining it better than it's portrayed. Maybe it's just me.
We'll see.
Maybe I just don't like this show so much. It's not that I hate the show. It's just a dumb show. It's very dumb. And like another thing is the animation for a lot of it is very bad. Every time Pikachu attacks, it's like there's two frames. There's Lightning 1 and Lightning 2. Right. And they just rotate between them. And I don't know if that happened in the original airing. Or if they're like, we don't know how to animate lightning blasts or fire blasts or like water moving. So we'll just like go back and forth. But then like they'll drop something in the water and it'll like very beautifully sink down.
Right.
It's like, why did you spend all your money on that? Like, and not Pikachu ever doing his attacks. Anyway, back to the thing. There's a bunch of Butterfree, and they are, like, knocking people around. And so Ash sends his Butterfree out, except, oops, he traded it. And it's Eradicate instead. And so he then flashes back to episodes that I did not watch.
This is episode 4 and 5, when he catches Caterpie.
It's early on. And then it also flashes back to, like, other episodes where he, like, used Butterfree.
Right.
And, like, with it evolving and, like, it... doing other Butterfree stuff. I didn't watch any of those because I'm only watching episodes that I have to. This is when I was like, oh, the attack animations are pretty bad. They win. Ship's getting tossed around in a storm. They basically whirlwind all of Team Rocket off the ship, except for Jesse, James, and Meows, because they're special, I guess.
Yep.
So they...
Those white suits add some weight.
I guess. It keeps them grounded. So the ship's getting like bumped around. Ash finds the Southern Gentleman, trades his Butterfree back. But the gentleman was like, well, I guess you leave me no choice. This is a 10-year-old boy who wants his friend back.
Right.
And you're acting like he's putting you out. What's your deal? What's wrong with you?
This guy seems like a total jerk.
1% billionaire jerk. Genesis kid. Ugh.
Yeah, I had a Genesis.
So, I'm pretty sure that Super Nintendo and Sega Genesis cost the same amount of money.
I think so. I had both, though, so there's your 1%.
There's your 1% right there. The boat's getting tossed around by a storm. The captain, who is Irish, so I guess there's an Ireland in
this
world.
Is he seasick?
Nope.
This show sucks.
Yep. Totally inaccurate. But he's like, everything's fine. Don't worry about it. And then it cuts from him going, it's going to be okay. Everything's fine. Just a little storm. To him on a lifeboat going, just going to test this lifeboat out real quick. And then the lifeboat drops and everyone panics because the captain abandoned ship. So Ash is like, let's go, let's get a lifeboat. Ship jostles. He drops Butterfree and starts rolling down the hall. At the same time, James drops his Pokeball with Magikarp in it, so he can't get his money back because it's rolling away. Also, he's like, it even came in a special Pokeball. And they're like, it's gold, right? He's like, yeah, it's gold. And they're like, it's gold plated. And like, they scratch it once, and then where the scratches are, you can see under it. So he got hoodwinked bad. But he drops the Magikarp. He runs after it. Ash runs after it, Butterfree. Misty and Brock chase after him. So when the boat gets hit by a giant wave and capsizes, they're the only people left on the boat.
Okay.
The next shot, there's like the boat sinking, and then a shot of everybody else on lifeboats, and the captain going, all right, anyone who didn't make it off the boat, raise your hand. All right, good.
This is a good captain. He's my kind of guy, I
guess. Yeah, he's terrible. So then it says, to be continued, and I went, what? Excuse me? Because I made a promise that I would do all the episodes that that take place where we talk about. And because Ash is still technically on the boat, I watched the next episode.
Which you are going to have to wait until next Wednesday to hear about, because this episode went way too long for me talking about the anime. Hi, this is Jake from the future. Just checking in to let you know what the plan is and why there's kind of a cut and why I'm so exasperated when I come back from this little interlude. Enjoy the rest of the episode. We'll see you next Wednesday for the thrilling conclusion of the St. Anne saga.
For the love of God, can we rate some names, please?
Absolutely.
All right, Josh, so this is not a traditional name raider segment. This is going to bounce back and forth, and we got a kind of a name convention that we want to talk about first, right?
Yeah, we mentioned it last time when we read Hoops's email?
Hoops.
The email belonging Hoops's. Sent to us by Hoops.
Yes.
And that he has a really unique naming convention. And we're going to try to explain it and then go over a couple of the names.
I don't think it's not complicated to understand, but I think explaining it might be a little tricky.
Yeah, not to understand. Yeah. Like, you'll get it once you get it.
Yeah, I think it's a really neat naming convention. So you start, I'll try to fill in any gaps
I can. I'll read the start of this here.
Okay.
This is from Hoops, as we have mentioned.
Remember, from a minute ago.
I have a theme for naming my Mons that started sometime in Gold and Silver. I was 7 or 8 and couldn't think of a name for Snorlax, so I just finished its name off, and that's what I've done ever since. Okay? Does that make sense? That's how he describes what
he does. That's
how
he describes it. I don't think it's 100% clear yet.
Okay, so here's the first example. The first one he gave us was not Snorlax.
Nope.
It's for Nidoking. I'd name my Nidoking Dom, or Dome, however you want to say it, in order to make Nidokingdom. So the name is that last part that's not part of the Pokemon's name. Does that
right.
make sense?
Yes.
Am I saying that in a way
that makes sense?
Ampharos, a.k.a. the best Pokemon,
well,
would be named Asia.
Everyone's favorite Pokemon is different, okay?
Would be named Asia or Ari, so he'd be Ambrosia?
Like Ambrosia.
And like Ambrosia.
Yeah.
Or Ampharosary. It's hard to say some of these complete. And the Snorlax, I bet you guys can guess, was named Ative, however you want to spell it.
Snorlaxative?
Because it's Snorlaxative.
Okay.
Snap the Pidgeotto. Pidgeotto Snap.
Okay, all right. I like that.
And Gun the Luxray.
Luxray Gun.
Luxray Gun.
I like that.
So are we going to name these rate these individually, or are we going to rate the convention as a whole?
I think we're going to rate the convention as a whole. Which I'm giving an Ultra Ball.
Oh, also Ultra Ball. It's really clever. I've never come across it before.
No, it's first of all very unique, and it makes a crazy kind of sense.
Yeah,
that you're like, oh, and especially if you're like introducing them. And I did this in Minecraft. I named my donkey Hote. This is my Don Quixote. You know, like Don Quixote, the literary character / actual person. I don't know who Don Quixote is, but I know my donkey Hote is very funny. And so so it's the same thing as that. And I really like that. But here's my Nidoking Dom.
Right.
Here's my Snorlaxative. You know, I really like that.
My Luxray Gun.
Yeah. I would like to hear some more of them. Like now, whenever I get a Pokemon, if I ever play Pokemon again, I've been meaning to get back to it. I've just been very busy. I'm going to like be thinking of, I'm not going to name them these things, but I'm going to be thinking of them
right,
now.
Yeah.
This is germinated in my brain. Okay. So I already thought of one. For a Mighty Ena, call it Uff. Mighty Ena Uff.
Okay. We also have some names from Twitter. So we have one on Twitter from William, a new follower. Welcome, William.
Welcome.
Glad to have you aboard because we did a boat episode.
Get it because it's a boat? I'll allow it.
He gave us two. We'll do one this episode and one next time. So for this episode, we will rate Cavendish the Tropius.
Okay.
Or Tropius, whichever you prefer.
I say Tropius. So this one takes a little bit of digging.
I did not understand either of the nicknames that he sent us. Because I don't know if you guys know this about me, but I'm not really wise. I don't know if that's the right.
You're not super worldly.
Yeah. Worldly, yes, that's the one.
So I figured out right away, because Tropius is one of the few non-Gen 1, 2, or 6 Pokemon that I do know.
He's a Gen 3 Pokemon.
He's Gen 3 Pokemon, so I, by all accounts, I should not know who this is.
You should have no idea.
But you have explained to me this weird-looking Pokemon. He's basically a Brontosaurus who has bananas on him.
And giant leaf wings.
Yeah. So Cavendish is a type of banana that is extinct, much like the dinosaur. So he is an extinct banana dinosaur named Cavendish. I'm going to give this a master
this
ball.
This is a master ball all day.
Yeah.
Now that I understand it.
Yeah, it's great.
At first, I thought it was some like just weird, obscure reference that I wasn't getting. I was like, I don't understand what either of these mean.
No.
But yeah, in context, that's perfect.
Yeah, it's
that,
great.
There's no. I'm gonna use that. I'm stealing that one, William.
Congratulations. Call you Will?
I'm gonna call you William. The final one this episode is from Sky,
friend of the show, Sky.
It's for Cofagrigus. Do you know what this is?
Is that the coffin?
It's the haunted sarcophagus.
Okay.
Yep. He named it Brendan because The Mummy is a fantastic movie.
Okay. Well, you're right there. The Mummy is a fantastic movie. It's a sarcophagus. I like that. I'm going to give it an ultra ball.
I'm going to give it a great ball because Cofagrigus does not look like a Brendan to me.
See, I like
it. And I don't want to just throw ultra balls around all willy-nilly. I like it. I like the theme of
it. Yeah. I like it because, number one, I like naming Pokemon regular person names. So this real works because, like, nothing is weirder than naming a giant coffin with arms that's also a pharaoh, kind of. If I'm remembering it correctly,
that's just a coffin with arms, as far as I know. Your mask, the baby version of Cofagrigus is like a weird ghost that holds a mask, and the mask is said to be the face of the person that it was when it was alive.
Yeah, that's terrifying.
Ghost Pokemon. Maybe we'll just do a ghost Pokemon bonus episode.
Eventually,
there's a lot of weird stuff in there.
Yeah. I'm going to give it an Ultra Ball because I think not only do I like the Mummy movie, but I also think Brendan is a really good regular name for a Pokemon.
It is a very regular name.
Yeah.
I'm still going to
say. No offense if your name is Brendan. I'm not saying you're like a regular. You're boring and average. I'm just saying, like, as far as Pokemon names go.
Your name could have a little more flourish. That's all.
Yeah.
My name is Josh.
I'm Jake. It's like it's been like the most common name since 1988.
Josh is almost consistently in the top 10, as far as I know. I don't know. I don't know if that's changed since Twilight, but
Jacob.
No, Edward.
It got a resurgence of
Edward
of popularity.
And Dad, because Bella's dad doesn't have a name.
Mustache Dad. His name was Mustache Dad.
Anyway, I'm sticking with the Great Ball. That's the Name Raider segment this episode.
All right. We didn't explain it, but this is a weird episode. We'll explain it again next time. But if you do want to send in your names, you can do that. We'll tell you how to do it at the end of the show. But we just need two things. We need a name and a species. So
that's all we need. You can send more information if you want.
And I like more context.
I like a little bit. If you're going to name it a big word like Cavendish, just maybe say what that word means. Because, you know, I'm not up to snuff on my dictionary learning.
Okay.
All right, but we got a super secret mystery spotlight Pokemon that I bet you guys didn't guess.
I think you're going to be really excited about this.
That we're going to talk about right now.
Who's that Pokemon?
It's Diglett!
I know you're shocked.
You guys are shocked. You thought it was going to be like...
Guys, pick your jaws up.
Who did you think
it
was going to be? I want you to tweet at us and tell us who you thought it was going to be. Because I bet it wasn't Diglett.
Nope. No one... Come on.
Oh, they're doing Oddish. There's no other Pokemon that would make sense. And we surprised you with Diglett.
So, Josh, this may surprise you to learn. I didn't look up a thing on Diglett.
You looked up a Diglett thing?
I didn't.
Oh, you didn't? Nope. Okay. I thought you said you had to, not that you didn't.
Nope. I did look up a thing on Diglett, but it was, is there a Diglett Cave episode? Do I have to watch another episode of the anime today?
You typed that in the Google and it just came back, no.
No, and I said, thank you, Google. So tell me a little bit about Diglett.
Diglett is National Dex number 50, and he is the mole Pokemon.
What even is a mole in this universe?
Diglett.
The Hanwha Carp.
Diglett is a mole,
I guess.
Is purely a ground-type Pokemon. Stands at roughly 8 inches. And we'll talk about that a little more later on.
Okay.
I don't understand it. Its weight is 1.8 pounds. When we talk about the height, I'll explain why I don't understand that.
Okay. I think I also have similar concerns about this.
The abilities that it gets are Sand Veil, which will increase evasion in a sandstorm. Arena Trap, which prevents enemies from fleeing a battle, so they can't teleport away. If you're fighting like the legendary dogs, they can't run away.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Abras
can't teleport away.
Nice.
Its hidden ability is Sand Force, which raises the damage of rock, ground, and steel type attacks by 30% in a sandstorm, and the Pokemon will not take any damage from the sandstorm if it normally would.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
It does.
It nullifies the sandstorm and boosts those type attacks.
Okay.
Evolves into Dugtrio at level 26. And now we're going to get a little weird with the Pokedex entries for this little goober.
Okay, also, we'll save this for the end, but I just looked up Diglett, and there is a surprising amount of trivia. So tell me about the Pokedex entries on this thing.
Diglets live approximately 1 yard underground.
Okay.
Okay, where it feeds on plant roots. It prefers dark places, occasionally surfacing in caves. Here's where things get weird.
All right.
The 8-inch height is only a measurement from the top of its head to the ground. Its full size remains a mystery.
There has got to be...
But they've weighed one.
Yeah, okay, well...
they've weighed at least one.
Okay, so here's what happened. They put a scale. They had a really well-trained Diglett. They put a scale next to its head and said, lay down.
And just like plopped his head
over onto the scale, and that was 1.8 pounds. There's got to be a lot of terrifying fan art about what is
there is. I almost tweeted, but by the time I thought of it, it was too late. Hey guys, we're recording about Diglett. Send us your best guesses at what's going on down there.
Right.
So do that for next episode. Send us your best guesses for what's going on down there on Diglett.
Yeah, hoo boy.
It has very thin skin that causes its blood to heat up, making it weak when exposed to light. Most farms raise Diglett as its burrows leave the soil perfectly tilled for crops.
Okay, so it's got a utilitarian purpose. I like that.
It does. And then for where you can find one, it's most commonly found in Diglett's cave in the Kanto region, but can also be encountered in or near some other caves in other regions, such as Route 228 in Sinnoh, Route 28 in Johto, or the Fiery Cave in Hoenn.
Okay. Fiery cave sounds scary.
It's not. It's not that bad.
Okay.
It's just a cave in the foot of a volcano, but like it's fine.
All right, cool.
All right, you ready for the trivia that I thought was interesting enough to write down?
Yep. Can I say one? I don't know if this is on your list. And this is, guys, correct me if I'm wrong, because I might be. I think I'm remembering this from when I was 10 or so. In the anime, there was a Diglett that popped up, and they said that the speed that it popped its head up was the speed of light.
Yes. Yep, I think that, is that in the trivia?
I don't know.
I think I read that when I was researching Diglett. I don't know what it's from.
I think it's from the anime. Which is...
That is ridiculous. Insane. That is not even in the in-game Pokedex.
Yeah, that's insane,
that's
guys.
That's nuts.
All right, so what do you got?
Diglett has no visible hands, but it is able to learn many scratch-like attacks, including Slash and Fury Swipes.
Okay.
As a kid, I always just pictured it doing that with its teeth. Like, I pictured it having, like, tiny little fangs, and it would scratch you by going,
eh. Right. Yeah, maybe. Those would technically be bite attacks, though. But, I mean, if you don't have any hands,
but it doesn't,
you make do.
It doesn't bite. It doesn't... It just, like,
right.
scratches you with its
okay.
teeth. Okay. Its category, the mole Pokemon, is shared with the Generation 5 Pokemon Drillbur, who is also a mole. Looks like a mole. Not, like,
right.
Diglett is kind of a worm, but a mole.
Right. he's the top of a I don't know, like a groundhog? I don't think so.
He's based in the origin section anyway. It says that he's more based on like a whack-a-mole than an actual mole.
Right.
Diglett and Dugtrio will go through a bit of trouble to not have to come above ground, including ducking underneath the hurdles in the Pokeathlon's hurdle dash game, or returning to their Pokeballs to heal if they are the player's partner Pokemon in Heart Gold and Soul Silver. So normally you just like put them up on the counter,
right?
But Diglett goes back in his Pokeball because you can't pick it
right.
up out of the ground.
God, these things are weird.
It's so weird. There's art, just like fan art. It's just like a little sketch that somebody did of just a Diglett on a chair.
Yeah.
And the trainer's like, Diglett, get off that chair. That doesn't even make any sense.
It's in one of the N64 games. Like
Pokemon Stadium, you can like glitch fly onto it or something, but like just the ground goes up with it.
Yeah. I think maybe I'm just remembering that fan art, but I think they're in like Hey You Pikachu, like you invite a Diglett over or something and it's sitting on a chair and you're like, "Wow, what?"
In one of the older Mystery Dungeon games, I think it's the Explorers series, Diglett mentions something about something tickling his feet, and the other Pokemon are like, what, you have feet?
Yep, there's a little gif right here. he says, my feet feel like they're still walking on air. And they're like, he has feet? He has them? What? So let's see if there's anything else good. Is that all your trivia?
That's all the trivia I wrote
okay.
down.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so in the anime, Gary stated that Diglett can pull its head underground at the speed of light. That makes no sense.
Gary is also 10.
He's so. Also 10. And a jerk, so he's like prone to making stuff up more, I think. So they a couple like quick notes. He has the lowest base defense of any ground type and the second lowest HP period after Shedinja, which I believe is a husk.
Yep, he only has one HP forever. Never gets any more.
Diglett has just more than that. Just barely more than
that. There's one bump up from that.
That's all the good trivia. What would you name? What would you name a Diglett?
Oh, Hammer Time.
All right.
Because he's based on a whack-a-mole.
Okay, I like that. I would name it...
Plus, it'd be like, go, Hammer Time.
Kind of the opposite, but I see what you're doing there. I would name it... I think the obvious one is Doug, for going with my regular person name.
Right. Great, now I got that theme song stuck in my head again.
Oh, it's never left my head. It just lives in my brain. And if I was naming it after a food item, I was trying to think of, like, what would a good, like, Diglett food item would be. And the only thing I can think of would be potato.
Yeah, he's a potato.
Yeah.
He's underground, potato-shaped.
Yep.
Yep. I like that.
All right, and that's it. Pokemon Spotlight. Let's poke on over to the Q&A.
Yeah, I've got one Q.
We can add that.
All right, let's do it. All right, so we have one question from Sky, and we have one other quick little theory about a glitch that we will do after the question.
Okay.
So Sky's question is, hypothetically, if you had to choose a starter from the other types, who would you choose?
Ooh, I think for me, it's a little obvious. I'm going to pick Teddy Ursa.
Yeah.
Or Eevee. If I'm not going with the super obvious one...
I'm going to count Eevee as a starter.
Okay, so not Eevee then? Okay, so Teddy Ursa or... I don't know.
I'm trying to think of it. I want to kind of follow the three-stage rule because I like that.
So there's...
So I think the Nidorans would be a good starter, but I don't know if they have. I don't know if they have any real good moves right away.
If we're doing three stages, because Teddy Ursa, not only does it only have the one evolution, but I don't evolve it.
Right. You don't have to evolve it. Like the three stage rule for a starter.
I'm gonna go with this rule though because I like that.
Okay.
So I'm probably gonna say Ghastly.
That's a good one. Has a trade evolution, which could be tricky.
Right. I also like Abras because I had a real kick in Alakazam in my last...
Alakazam's cool. I have a shiny Abras somewhere in my Pokemon bank that I caught running through X.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with Ghastly because I really like them.
I'm going to say collectively as one Pokemon, the Nidorans.
Okay.
The gender could match the trainer or not, whichever.
Right.
But I think that would be a neat gimmick. If you pick the girl trainer, you get the girl Nidoran.
We talked about this. I don't know if you remember. We talked about this literal years ago. But we were talking about how if you start somewhere else, like if there's I think, I don't know if it was in the form of like, if there was a Pokemon MMO or something like that,
Right.
And we started. Like, depending on where you started, your set to start from would be different.
Yeah, your starters would be like Pokemon from the area.
Yeah. So like,
or like that pertain to the city, like Pikachu would be a starter choice in Vermilion because Lieutenant Surge introduces Pikachu in as a starter.
Right. Or like if you started in Fuchsia, it'd be like here or really anywhere, like Lavender or wherever, it'd be like here are the three choices and they are three that follow the same rules, the rock, paper, scissors rules.
Right.
But they would, be different. So it would be like the Nidorans or like the Ghastlys, But like I think that would be a real cool idea.
Yeah.
If it's like, oh, because you start here, your three starter choices are different depending on what town you start in.
Yeah, I think I'm ready for the starter types to be different.
I was really hoping because
there was some fan art, some Fakemon.
I like Fakemon.
That came out.
I'm not gonna lie to you guys.
It was like a dark psychic fighting trio.
Yeah.
And it was like a fighting kangaroo. And I don't remember the other ones.
I don't either. That's pretty cool.
I was into that. And I was like, oh man, I just hope they do that.
In the last generation, in the current generation, in 6, you got your fire, water, grass, but they each have a secondary type later. I was hoping that their secondary type would be the opposite of the last one.
Right, yeah, I think... I don't know if we talked about this on the air.
We might have briefly.
But yeah.
But yeah, like I thought that would have been real cool. It's like, once you get the most, it evens out. So right. It's not just
but
like
instead the secondary type is the same triangle.
It's the same. So now you're double effective against the other one. And the thing is, it would have worked if you would have just changed two of them.
Yeah.
Like if you would have changed,
just put Delphox as dark because she's a witch.
Yeah. And then
well, no, because then Greninja wouldn't make sense as psychic, but Greninja would make sense.
No, if you switch Greninja and Chestnut,
so that Chestnut is now part dark and Greninja is fighting,
then that would work out.
Yep,
and it'll be fine. And I thought that's what they're gonna do because like Greninja makes sense to be a fighting type, and Chestnut is like a big burly thing. That
he's a
be
paladin.
Dark. I mean, but
and like who are like warriors of light,
right?
And fight. There's not a light type. But, like, dark is kind of, like, just underhanded and crummy.
Yeah, it's
so
not, like...
So, fighting is kind of, like, the heroic type.
Right.
So, that's why they went that way.
Right, I get that.
But it would have been cool to have the secondary types be a counter triangle.
Yeah. And I would really like it if they did some sort of opposite. I mean, I would like a normal type to be one.
Yeah.
But, you know...
Eevee is just, like, begging to be a choosable starter for us.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're ever going to pull that trigger. Anyway, how about this theory?
All right, hit me.
Alan, PhoenixLight06 on Twitter, sends a theory about that Machop glitch.
Okay.
He says the Machop glitch is triggered when you speak to it because the game plays its cry, which is the audio file. I did not realize that, because when you first open the Pokedex page, it'll also play the audio file. So the Machop family cries, because it's still all three of them, Machop, Machoke, and Machamp, might be the trigger to that glitch.
Okay.
And not the Pokemon necessarily themselves.
Oh, maybe. That makes sense.
So that's that. That's everything I have for fan interaction.
Yeah, same.
And that's going to do it for us today. If you have anything you want to say to us, any questions you want to ask.
Theories you want to float by us.
Theories, just like weird headcanons or anything. Anything Pokemon related
anything
that
all.
You got.
We are up for it.
You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, or Tumblr. If you search for PWT Podcast, we are branded, and that's us.
We got the SEO on lock. If you want to email us, you can do it at pwtpodcast@gmail.com. Pretty simple. Yeah, if you want to send in nicknames or... You know, like I said earlier, like a minute ago, hey, Canada theories or anything, or if you have any Danielle style research papers you want to send us, that was real cool.
Do it. I love that so much.
So, our theme song is The Destiny Infinite by Dark Sword off of the OC Remix album, the EVEP. Dark Sword is DarkeSword. You can go find his stuff at his Twitter. Links from there. Go check him out. And the EVEP is available at EV.OCRemix.com.
And all other music in the background of this podcast is from the Pokemon Heart Gold and Soul Silver Super Music Collection, available on iTunes. Definitely go check that out.
For sure.
They also have every other game soundtrack, which I don't think I've mentioned before. So just if you're into the music, you can buy each soundtrack for $10.
Yeah, it's a real good deal. Also, while you're on iTunes, go ahead and leave us a rating and review if you feel like it. That's what we were supposed to do in the interactions.
That's the thing.
Well, next time for sure then, guys. if you want us to read them, you got a little bit more time to get them in.
Yeah, we were going to read them at 5. We're at 6 now.
Very excited. So send those in if you want to.
We might even be at more. I haven't checked in a while.
I haven't either. So like if you just want to take a second to rate and review us, it helps us out a lot. It the more ratings and reviews we have, the more visible we are. So more people can find us, more people can jump on and come on this journey across the Pokemon world with us. But that's it. What are we doing next time, Josh?
But next time, we are going to be traveling down Route 10, paying a visit to Rock Tunnel, and maybe swinging by the power plant.
But until then, I've been your host, Jake.
And I am your guide, Josh.
Smell you later!